First up is the Papio River NRD budget hearing. Adoption proposal of the fiscal year 2025 budget. Notification of the Open Meeting Act and meeting procedure. The copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the back of the room. Prior to turning the agenda today, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting and all meetings today. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Quorum call.
Bonnet.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson. Fowler.
Here.
Henningsen. Deb.
Here.
Teasler. Thompson.
Here.
And Chairman.
Here.
So adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Deb.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Proof of publication of the Meetings Act, as we talked about earlier. I'm going to appoint the hearing officer, John Winkler, general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 7, the evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 8 is the acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit number 1 is the agenda. Exhibit number 2 is the proof of publication of the hearing notices, which was in the September 5th Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2025 budget. Exhibit 4 is the Papio NRD fiscal year 2025 proposed expenditure revenue pie chart. And Exhibit 5 is the fiscal year 2025 budget worksheets. Exhibit 6 is a resolution to set the property tax request for fiscal year 2025 at $31,497,102 with a tax levy of 0.029568 per $100 of assessed valuation. Breakdown and proposal of the fiscal year 2025 budget. The total requirements for this year are $118,267,265. That is a reduction of $1,252,687 from last year. Operating budget, $89,154,25. That is a reduction of $1,123,488 from last year. Property tax levy, 0.029568. That is a reduction of 0.001756, which is a 5.6% reduction in the property tax levy. Total property tax requirement, $31,497,102. That is a $767,933 addition from last year's, which is 2.5%. Property tax valued, or property valued at $100,000, would see a 5.6% reduction from $31,32 to $29,57. Compared to this fiscal year. The budget summary is also available for flood control, erosion control, water quality, recreation, forestry and wildlife, and the watershed fund. If you go to the pie charts for the required budgeted items, general administration, if you look there, 13%. All the literature indicates a 10 to 20% general administration is a good number, so we're well below the 20% that is identified as a remarkable administration fee. Information education is less than 1%. The project improvement area is about 4% of the budget. Project reserves balance forward is 25%. The forestry and wildlife is less than 1%. Recreation is 7%, erosion and water quality, 8%, and flood control and watershed quality, or watershed projects, 41%. If you look at the budget proposed, again, I've gave you those specific numbers. Again, the majority of the valuation is in Sarpy and Douglas County, around 92%. The overall valuation increase was 8.59% district-wide. And again, we are only requesting 2.5% increase in actual tax taking, which leaves a 5.6% reduction in the levy. Agenda item 10, receive testimony and statements on budget hearings. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide testimony on the budget hearing? One more second time, anyone? And third and final time. Seeing none, we will close the hearing at 4:05. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Turn it over to PPO, I believe.
No, we have one more hearing.
Oh, there's more hearing, sorry. Where are we at? Oh, backside of this. Okay. So we're a special hearing to set the final tax request for the fiscal year 2025 budget for the Papio, Missouri River Natural Resource District. We'll call this meeting to order. Notification of the Public Meetings Act and the posting of the meeting procedure is identical. We have it here. Let's have a quorum call, please.
Bowman.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson. Fowler.
Here.
Henningsen. Jowd.
Here.
Tinser. Thompson.
Here.
And Sherman.
Here.
Adoption of the agenda?
Second.
So the motion is second. Quorum call, please.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Conley.
Hi.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jowd.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. I have here the proofs of publication. That's the hearing appointment of the hearing officer, John Winkler, general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 7 is evidence of proof publication of the hearing notice, which is part of the record. Agenda item 8, acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notice, which occurred in the Omaha World Herald September 5th, 2024. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2025 budget. Exhibit 4 is the Papio NRD fiscal year 2025 proposed expenditures and revenue pie charts. Exhibit 5 is the fiscal year 2025 budget worksheets. Exhibit 6, a resolution set property tax request for fiscal year 2025 at $31,497,102 with a tax levy of 0.029568 per 100 of assessed valuation. Breakdown of the proposed fiscal year 2025 budget. I won't bore everyone going through those numbers again. Agenda item 10, receive testimony and statements on property tax levy for fiscal year 2025. Is there anyone in the public like to provide any comments or testimony on the district's budget for 2025? Second time. And third and final request. Seeing none, we will adjourn the hearing at, your time up there, Tim, 4:08 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, General Manager. Now we'll go to PPO, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd like to call the PPO Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee to order. I think we've already read the Notification of Open Meetings Act, posting announcement of the meeting procedure. Quorum call.
Fowler.
Here.
Jowd.
Here.
Bonnet.
Present.
Thompson.
Here.
And Chairman.
Here. Item number 4, adoption of agenda. A motion?
Second.
And a second. Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Aye. Item number 6, interlocal agreement with Lower Platte South NRD, Sharpie County, Cass County, and SID 101 for Platte River obstruction removal cost share. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This agenda item is the continuation of the process to remove the Platte River obstruction removal after the 2019 flood. As you know, the district received a federal community development block grant for $7 million, which pays for 90% of the obstruction removal cost. The attached interlocal agreement is proposing that the district enter into a cost-share arrangement with Sarpy County, Cass County, Lower Platte South NRD, and SID 101 to cooperatively pay for the 10% local match that is required by the federal funds. In the memo, the following is a 10% match breakout for each participating jurisdiction. Note, these are not to exceed amounts. We're guessing that due to the scope of the project that we might not be able to spend the full $7 million. So these are not to exceed amounts. Cass County has approved and Lower Platte South NRD have approved the agreement already. I will be headed to the Sarpy County meeting next week for their approval. And so that would leave two more. So to continue to move this forward, we're planning on a bid package going out in October with approval from the board to begin the removal at the November meeting. So everything's progressing as planned. Be happy to take any questions.
How did we arrive at these percentages?
Ability to pay. Not only ability to pay, but also as far as, for example, the obstruction is more on the Sarpy side of the river. So the Papio and Sarpy assumed a larger percentage of that. Obviously, SID 101 has an interest in taking care of that, as well as Cass County, because it does affect Cass County.
Is that SID in Sarpy County or in Doug?
It's in Sarpy County. So, yeah, it was more of a negotiated, this is your kind of risk, and then also then what they would be willing to pay. So it was more of a negotiated year.
How did we arrive at the $7 million figure? Was that?
That's what the grant was for.
Based on?
Based on what they were willing to. We gave them some preliminary estimates, and the federal funds determined, the federal agency that granted the money determined $7 million was the most they were going to give. So that's why we based our.
So we really have no idea what's going to cost.
It's going to be less than $7 million. It'll be $7 million or less. It won't be more than that.
Okay.
These are maximum, so we can't exceed that amount.
It does cost more than
$7 million. Then we'll stop the work. So because we can't go back to the feds, we need more. This is what you're going to get, so this is what we're going to do for the work. So, yep.
Are there any other questions?
Move the staff recommendation.
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to comment? Roll call.
Clements?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye.
Item number seven, interlocal agreement with the Lower Platte South NRD and Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Tree debris, lead bridge, cost share, Williams.
Great, thank you. There's lots of things out there in the Platte River these days. This is an agreement to remove large tree debris from the lead bridge, which was last conducted after the 2019 flood. Since then, there have been several large rain events, including earlier this spring. The district was notified that there was a recent event, a public health and safety concern, and a near drowning. Two people were participating in recreation on the river, and they got caught on the debris, but went physically under the debris and happened to come out the other side. That triggered some discussion between agencies about the need to remove the large debris that's on the structure to both keep the river safe for recreation, but also from the district's interests to make sure that we are clear by the time we get to winter, and particularly as we get toward ice out, to reduce the risk of ice jam flooding. The Nebraska Game and Parks, the existing agreement between the agencies says that Nebraska Game and Parks will carry out all normal operations and maintenance on the bridge and the trails on both sides. That generally means mowing, small amounts of repair work. This is a little bit larger than standard repair or operations and maintenance on the trail. And so Nebraska Game and Parks requested that Papio and Lower Platte South participate in the contracting to remove the debris on the upstream side of the lead bridge. We carried this out last time in 2019, after the event in 2019, the Papio carried this out after 2019. And so through discussion with the other two agencies, we have another amendment to the interlocal agreement that specifies the responsibilities and participation from the three agencies for debris removal on the lead bridge, similar to what was done in 2019, with the Papio acting as the administering agent, and then a one-third cost share from each of the partners. The agreement stipulates that the one-third amount will be not more than $200,000 from any of the agencies. So the way that we contracted this last time was a bid price per ton of debris removed, verified by measurement of the first several trucks that came out, and then photo documentation of remaining loads of debris removed. So we'll anticipate that same type of bid structure. What that means is that we can functionally continue to remove debris until we get to a maximum amount, so that we are not specifically tied to a contracted scope of work that would have an uncertain total financial cost. So we anticipate that will allow us to make sure that we don't go over the financial details that are specified in the interlocal agreement. We anticipate that the bidding will occur this fall, giving a contractor time to prepare and begin work before the end of the year if they would like, but we anticipate this is probably January and February, again targeting being completed before we have ice out in the later part of the winter. So the recommendation is to authorize approval of an additional amendment to the existing interlocal, with the Papio carrying out the work and financial compensation back from the other two entities, not more than $200,000.
Thanks, Eric. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item? All right, we can have a motion.
Wait, Fred.
Either before
or
after.
Oh, wait. Oh. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, we don't specify what to be done with the debris, whether it's mulched or burned or whatever. We don't want to get into that.
That's right, and that was a point of discussion with contractors last time. If we have stipulations on what they can or cannot do with it, that makes it that limits them and their decisions about what they're going to do with it. And so, yes, more restrictive, probably a higher bid. Last time, the contractor found a site on the south side in a farm field. They deposited the material, and I believe it was then dried and then later burned by the property owner. So I think that the contractor had an agreement with the property owner to place it there. But, again, it will be the bid docs will specify that is the responsibility of the contractor to dispose of it. I think some was salvaged for pallets.
I move for staff recommendation.
Second. Stephanie, any other comments from directors?
I have one question. There's one little item you're saying here. Seek federal funds for this work. What is that exactly going to amount to?
So there was a number of disaster declarations this summer, late spring, early summer. And so we're going to apply to see if that might be covered under a FEMA cleanup type of grant. So we don't know for sure. That's why we're going to ask. If it does, great. We'll reimburse everybody accordingly. If not, then okay. We tried, so.
Questions? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Aye. Item number 9, contract amendment number 2 with JEO Consult.
Number 8.
Contract amendment number 1 with Felsberg, Holt, and I don't know how to pronounce the last name, for Sorensen the grant. Gerard Trail, Eric Williams.
Yes, thank you. The second page is a map of this location. This is a trail corridor on a former railroad corridor on the north side of the CHI Emanuel Hospital, just to the northeast of 72nd and Sorensen. We've been in design on the trail from 72nd to the east up to Gerard Street. That's the section that we're referring to as the Gerard Connection. This was originally contracted at below the management authority dollar amount for the entire scope of the design and the construction administration. So we've been working on the design to construct that, the design to get plans ready for bidding for that section of trail. There's an interlocal agreement that was approved quite a while ago by the board, then executed by Allegiant, and now in process of being finalized at the City of Omaha, that will specify transfer of the rail corridor land to the City of Omaha, who will take over operations and maintenance after the completion of the trail. At this time, through the design process, we've, up at the end there, you can see it kind of runs parallel to Gerard Street. the FHU has identified that there is some existing drainage patterns that need to be captured that was not anticipated at the time of the original contract and scope and fee. So they've asked for an amendment to the contract to address drainage from a curb and gutter system on the edge of Girard Street. The contract amendment would push the total contract amount over the management authority. So we brought it to the board to ask for authorization for the amendment to the original agreement in order to allow the additional scope of work for the design contract. Do we have a map of maybe the last page of this one, Bill? Yeah, there's the contract documents, here you go. So you can see the old rail corridor, which is why the contours look so strange. There are two options being considered. One, capture at the left side by the two brown and blue lines, and that would be taking the stormwater into a storm sewer system there, or two, coming down Girard Street and capturing at the right side next to the house on the right end. We don't currently know which of these designs will be preferred by the City of Omaha. This is in City of Omaha right away, so FHU is working with Omaha on determining what is the preferred alternative for the drainage. If the drainage design is simpler, the scope of work for the design will decrease. But if it is more complicated, this contract amendment would allow them to carry out the design of a system to capture that stormwater and connect into the existing storm sewers in the area. The plans are quite far along. This would allow us to get to about 90% and prepare for bidding. We have been working toward bidding this fall with preparation for tree clearing over the winter and construction in 2025. And things are moving along pretty well. We anticipate that the design here should be done in that timeline. Omaha should be able to finalize the review of the plans, and we should be able to move forward with bidding in a couple months here. FHU is ready to move along with the design, get final approval from the City of Omaha, and then get those plans ready for bid. The recommendation is to authorize executing the amendment in the amount of $39,015 for a new contract total of $136,813 for the Girard Connection Trail project.
Thank you.
Move a staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eric, I was wondering, in the map A on the western part of that proposed trail, will it move further west by chance? Because it looked some good sight down there.
Yes. So you recall we had a public hearing about land rights acquisition in this area. There is a parcel to the west side of 72nd Street that we are preparing to negotiate on acquisition. That is a separate project. 72nd Street used to be a two-lane road with a railroad bridge underneath. So the first project, the Girard Connection portion, is being constructed locally. The second project has been designated federal funding at 80% for the underpass under 72nd Street along that parcel to the west and connecting to the north side of Sorenson. From Sorenson, the trail does run to the west all the way down to the Keystone Trail, which is now being extended up to Cunningham, which is why we've investigated this, is giving access to the people who live here onto the Sorenson Trail and over to the Keystone Trail without having to go through the intersection at 72nd and Sorenson, which is quite busy and relatively both unpleasant and unsafe for people who aren't in cars. So yes, it is connecting to an existing trail that has significant expanded access to other existing recreation facilities.
So an underpass, because I'm one of those people, and my wife, you know, unpleasant trying to get across there.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from directors? We can have a motion.
Motion is second.
We did.
Correct. Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. Roll call.
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
All right. Item number 9, contract amendment number 2 with GEO Consulting for Southern Sharpie Stormwater Inspections. Ian?
Yep. Good afternoon, directors. For your consideration, I have a second contract amendment with GEO for the construction stormwater inspection service that they provide to the Southern Sharpie Watersheds Partnership. We originally contracted with JEO in 2020 through an RFP process to complete this work, and this contract was amended one time in December 2020 to extend the length of service out to January 2025, where it's now set to expire. These construction stormwater inspections are a necessary service that allows the partner jurisdictions to meet the requirements of their respective MS4 permits for their communities. So in looking at how to continue this work once the contract expired, the partnership reviewed and discussed the quality of service that JEO has provided us over the last 5 years and determined that the best course forward would be to amend their contract once again to provide for additional years of service, completing the construction stormwater inspections and reporting, which they have done for the past few years. So we requested that JEO prepare this amendment, which is attached to my memo. The partnership reviewed and voted on this in our meeting last Thursday, September 5th, and it was approved unanimously. The amendment extends the service from expiring in January 2025 out to January 2028, so an additional 3 years of inspection service. And the scope and fee are adjusted accordingly to provide for that additional length of time. Beyond that, there are some slight adjustments to the volume of tasks in the amendment, just based on what JEO has seen in the past 5 years doing this work, so number of sites they expect to monitor, number of meetings that they would have with us on coordination as they become a little more efficient with this process. And the total not to exceed fee of this proposed amendment is $663,160, and that would bring the total contract not to exceed fee to $1,531,733. So as the administering agent, despite this being a service for the partnership, the Papillon RD would execute this agreement and administer the contract as we've done in the past. So I'm here to answer any concerns or questions that you may have about this amendment.
We can have a motion on this. Then we'll have comments.
One motion for staff recommendation.
We have a motion. And a second, anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Patrick?
Could you help me understand a little bit more about the number of man hours and the type of personnel that we're utilizing for this type of project? I've seen a few of these over the years. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed a little excessive. And if we're billing by the hour, how many hours are you actually in hours?
Difficult for me to say specifically because I know it varies quite a bit. I think depending on the season and the number of projects they're monitoring. I believe it's based on the number of active grading permits for each jurisdiction and the number of required inspections. I believe varies dependent on the amount of rainfall that each community will get, with certain standards being set, the amount of after a rainfall event they might have to go out and inspect. So the number of hours billed does vary a little bit. I can say that in the past 5 years of service, they have remained within or under the budget they've set each year. But as far as the specific man hours or tasks that the inspectors might complete, I'd be happy to invite JEO to speak a little bit more on that on Thursday. I think they give a bit more insight into what that process looks like.
So do you anticipate any of those man hours being virtual? Would they do one inspection and then set up any kind of virtual monitoring or camera systems or anything like that?
I don't believe right now there are any virtual
remote monitoring.
Yeah, I don't think right now we do any remote monitoring that I've heard of. I think it's all on-site in-person inspections of the stormwater pollution prevention measures that are in place at these sites. I'm not sure if other communities who complete this monitoring do it remotely, but I'm not familiar with that as far as this contract goes.
Just a note, this runs through 2027.
The amendment language?
Yeah.
Okay. We will make that adjustment.
Well, it's on their proposal, so okay. I don't know if that's part of the, somewhere in there or not.
And the payment for this fee is watershed fees from Southern Sarpy. Yeah. Those collected already.
So we're talking 3 years of work.
Looking at that, I couldn't tell.
It just depends on building.
Who's doing the,
can you read
hour?
It? I have a tough time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that earlier today.
Half a million a year.
Well, it depends on building permits, rain events. There's a lot of different complaints.
It just sounded above my pay grade, but thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any any other comments?
I have a question. Who issues the MS4 permits? Who does that? We're trying to do all this in order for them to get permits. Who issues the permits?
State has a permit, but it's really through EPA. So communities of a certain size are required to have MS4 permits. It's a federal
requirement.
Do other counties, are they required to do this?
Oh, well, in the Papio, we've got a Papio partnership, so all of those communities except, like, you know, Barrington is required to do it. And then in South Surrey, everyone, you know, Brett and Kelly list all those communities, and everyone but Springfield is not required, but they're kind of on the verge. Both of those communities are on the verge of being required, so they kind of come along with all of us and do the same thing so that they're ready when they get issued one.
You see, there's an extra layer of expense that some have to do it and some don't have to do it. That's why I'm confused by it. Also, where does the money come from for this? And is this a general budget item, or is this something that comes from the sale of those
lots? It comes from the fees generated from them. It's in the South Sarpy partnership.
All right, thank you.
And Omaha does the inspections for the Papillion Creek partnership. And so
Omaha, the city of Omaha?
City of Omaha. There we go.
They contract.
Yes, they contract with you.
Any other comments from the record? Roll call.
Jack? Burnett?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 10, Nicholas DeRosa and Sediment Control Complaint. I don't know how to pronounce the last name, your last name.
Good afternoon. My name's John Zug. Okay. I'm the NRD field representative,
okay. And
I'm based out of the Blair field office. Yeah. Just to give you a little background, big part of my job, I work with landowners in Sarpy, Douglas, and Washington County on conservation projects. We do all the surveying, design for, like, terraces, water control basins. And then I also work with landowners on windbreaks, tree plantings, getting all that going. So anyway, on February 20th, the Omaha office did receive a complaint from a Michael Nicholas in regard to an erosion issue he's having on his property, which is located at 12115 North 36th Street. On March 1st, I contacted him. We set up a time to meet out there. It's a residential type area. He's got an acreage on there. It's a wooded area with a lot of brush out there. So anyway, we looked around the entire property. He's mainly concerned about three gully spots that is getting erosion on it. You know, it's typical classic gully erosion. He's getting runoff from residential neighbors. He's at the bottom, I guess you could say, of the watershed. So, I mean, this is pretty typical of what you see in a situation like that. Like I said, we walked all over the place, looked at everything. I explained to him, for something like this to be in effect, there has to be actual ground disturbance above him where you have bare soil. And then you have a rain event, then sediment is deposited to the downstream landowner. And I explained to him that this is just typical erosion. There was no sediment damage on his property. And you know, just explain that to them. And we did talk about, going forward, we work a lot with the NRCS, with their civil engineers, and we are going to be meeting with him and hopefully coming up with some solutions out there. So, unfortunately, this is pretty typical. You can go about anywhere on a creek and see the same type of erosion. I did reach out to Mr. Nicholas last Thursday and informed him of this meeting. He's out of town tonight, but he will be here Thursday to talk to the board. But due to the fact that there was really no sediment deposited on his property, we recommend that this complaint is dismissed for non-violation. So, I don't know, Brent, did you want to?
I'll add a little color to it, yeah. Good afternoon, directors. So Mr. Nicholas was the gentleman who appeared last month during the budget conversation, wanted to talk about this. So we just put it on the agenda for this month so that he can address the board. But Really, the basis of the denial of the complaint just hinges on the type of injury that he's claiming. As John said, the water that's running off onto his property is causing erosion. The Erosion and Settlement Control Program and the Erosion and Settlement Control Act really relates to sediment coming off of a violating property onto the person who's submitting the complaint. So really the erosion is on the violating party side, and the loss or the damage that would trigger a violation here would be accumulation of sediment on the property. So it's just the wrong vehicle for the relief that he is seeking. So we're trying to put him in contact with the right folks. And I mean, technically he could try to seek some kind of civil remedy in a lawsuit if that's something that he wants to pursue, but it's just not the right program for what he's seeking, basically.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question maybe for John or Eric, but 12115 North 36th Street, is that considered urban or rural? I mean, would our urban drainage program fit in this or not?
It's within Douglas County, I believe, but not inside us.
City limits, okay.
Yeah. Oh. So,
thank you.
Any other questions from directors? I understand the gentleman's not here.
No, he's not here tonight, but he will be here Thursday.
Just to clarify, you are going to explore other solutions with other agencies.
Yep. Yeah, we work hand in hand with NRCS on a lot of projects, and he's our new civil engineer.
Try to find a solution.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to help.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Thank you.
Staff recommendation.
Motion, staff recommendation. And a second, roll call.
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
And Chairman.
All right. I think that completes my report, Chairman.
I think Bradley, your turn.
Okay. Pass the gavel, please.
Oh. If he'll, so we have Larry, do you need your hammer?
He wants the hammer.
Oh, he wants the whole thing.
He wants the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Gotta be official here. All right. The Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee is called to order. Item number two, a copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back of the wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. And we ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Conley.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Here, and thank you, and I appreciate deputizing Fred Conley for this. And, adoption of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
All right, roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Vice Chairman?
Yes. And proof of publication of the meeting has been posted. Item number six, Papio NRD, fiscal year 2025 tax levy, and adoption of the budget, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, the district has received final valuations from the county clerk's offices. Final numbers are as follows. Sarpy County, 11.3% increase. Douglas, 7.46. Washington, 7.21. Dodge, 4.28. Burt, 7.2. Thurston, 15.3. Dakota, 12.4. Average valuation increase across the district, 8.59%. The tax levy would be set at 0.029568. Again, this is a decrease of 0.001756 from last year. Total tax requirement is $31,497,102. This is an overall increase of $767,933 from last year's total requirement of $30,729,169. The following is a chart showing the difference that the levy would make in a house valued at $100,000 and a house valued at $200,000. For fiscal year 2024, a home valued at $100,000 would have paid $3,132 per year in NRD taxes, and a house valued at $200,000 was $62.64. In fiscal year 2025, home valued at $100,000 is $29.57 per year, and home valued at $200,000 is $59.14 per year. Copy of the fact sheets are attached and as discussed during the hearing, and is management's recommendation that the subcommittee recommended the board that the resolution be adopted that's on the board to set the tax levy and the total budget.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion that's on the floor. Anybody from the public wish to speak on this item? None. Any staff? Directors? All right, with that, roll call.
Conway?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sherman?
Yes. All right, item number 7, first right of refusal for surplus land along Beltline Trail. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to table this issue.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Well.
No discussion.
No discussion. Roll call on that.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conway?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yes. All right, moving right along. Item number 8, right-of-way transfer to Sarpy County for Buffalo Road. Eric Williams.
Thank you. Sarpy County notified the district a few years ago about the intention to realign Buffalo Road from the current location, which is on the south side of the Buffalo Creek, to the north side of the creek. That will eliminate the need for the existing bridge. That does introduce a new crossing of Buffalo Road at the railroad corridor that is now the Mopac Trail on the east side of Highway 50. So if you scroll down a little bit, there you go, right there. So you can see the railroad corridor listed there, tax lot R1. And on the left side, the highway. Yeah, that's the highway next to the other lot. This is a request from Sarpy County for the district to dedicate the small portion where the future road will cross the existing railroad corridor into right-of-way and create a new trail crossing functionally. We have several other trail crossings on the Mopac Trail in this area. This will be similar. Buffalo Road will be a gravel surfaced road, so it'll be, again, similar to the crossings north and south. The existing crossing will be maintained, as far as I understand. There is one house on the south side of the creek, but on the east side of the trail, so that will functionally translate into just a private driveway. But the primary access to the several houses to the east on Buffalo Road will now be in this new location. So the recommendation is to dedicate the area on the existing railroad corridor parcel to Sarpy County as right-of-way for the new alignments of Buffalo Road, and then also to that's the recommendation. We will also execute temporary construction easements, but that does not require a board approval.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a motion on this item?
I'll make staff recommendation.
Second.
All right, a motion and a second, and for discussion. Anyone from the public? Seeing none. Staff? Directors? Right, roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conway?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yes.
The FEL committee is subcommittee is adjourned.
I would call to order the executive committee this September 10th, 2024. The agenda immediately following the FEL committee is. So we need notification of the Public Meetings Act, as we've heard several times. The procedure will be the same as we discussed. Then we have a quorum call.
Bradley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here. Here. Adoption agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion to second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Here.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Here.
Yes. So we have proof of publication of the meeting here in our packages. So we're filling the sub-district 10 vacancy. We'll hear from each candidate. And then we're going to...
Yeah, so we're going alphabetical order. So Zach Irvine is first, and then we'd ask the other two candidates to follow Amanda to be sequestered until your time is up.
Cone of silence.
Mr. Chairman, can I request that you hold for 2 minutes while I run to the latrine and be right back?
We'd like to limit these discussions to about 2 minutes, if you may.
No. He needs a 2 minute break.
What's that?
He needs a 2 minute break.
Oh, he needs a 2 minute break. I'm sorry.
That's a little short. We'll just adjourn, just hold it.
Just say 2 minutes is pretty short.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Usually got to put that out.
But when we access land, we don't need Dale to be there.
Right.
This guy wants us.
That's a nonprofit. They want a low-income housing.
There's other nonprofits we want to join.
Yeah.
But we can't give this guy any kind of preference treatment there. It's just, it is bothering the sheriff.
Yeah. He's one of the city's pressuring to come up with some low-income housing.
I'm just glad it happened. I'm kind of glad it happened now before I became 75.
But anyway, I don't want to do it.
Plus, I know a guy.
Who is it?
Larry's got a
Yeah, but I know in common, I don't know who's behind that.
Yep, they're all.
So they're on the website?
They're on the website. They're on the.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's a nonprofit for sure or not.
Are you ready?
All right. Let's come back to order, please.
Here you go.
Zach, welcome.
VA work now.
Good to see you.
That's a special.
Maybe to start things off, why are you seeking this seat?
Eddie's.
Chair.
Is this being broadcast?
No.
Okay, yep. We will. Just in here, or okay, just for the record.
House? All right. So why am I seeking this seat? So first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't thank John Winkler and Kevin Sapinski, who found out about this through, but goes back, our relationship goes back several years, Kevin with our kids in the same sports together. However, sorry, I don't like podium defilade.
Please speak into the microphone, however.
Okay, all right, sorry. But John Winkler, through our charity work for the Airmen, Airmen's Attic and some other community projects. So found out about that through here. And then really in my introduction letter, so since I've been in the Army for 22 years, like service, I understand service, I think service is a virtue. This is one small way for me to continue service that's a little bit bigger than myself, my family, get back to the community. So I would say that that's the primary reason.
Any particular qualifications that make you perfect for this job?
So, you know, that's an interesting question and a challenging one, because going over the NRD's website, watching a bunch of YouTube videos, seeing some of the materials that Kevin gave me, you know, I still don't really have a good scope and understanding of what the NRD does. It seems very expansive. However, I can see the physical manifestations of that near where I live. I live on the Papio Trail, so I see the improvements that you guys do. I, you know, enjoy the trails. So from that aspect, my graduate degree is in the hard sciences. However, that kind of ventured into emergency preparedness and disaster management, so trained with FEMA regions, worked with them. So I do have a little bit of an understanding, albeit dated, of, you know, discus, the federal level, how FEMA comes in to help the regions, how they're broken up, and kind of how that incident command trickles down to some of the state and then local levels. Hopefully we never have to do that, but that is, I think, a unique qualification that I've seen from a different side that may not, you know, A, always be understood, and, you know, hopefully not needed, but I do think working with, you know, the first responders and then again all the way back up to the federal government does give me a unique set of qualifications.
Anyone else have any questions?
It says you work for MITRE right now?
Yes, I do.
What J code are you working?
So I do support the NEC and STRATCOM, but I do some other projects as well with the so MITRE has several FFRDCs under it, and do work with the MITRE public health sector as well.
Okay. Are you in the building?
I am in the building. I could not achieve escape velocity. COVID made sure that that happened. And so when I had kids going into college, I'm like, well, we'll take the safe play and just get pigeonholed back into the nuclear world. So
yeah. Sure. Well, you survived the CAG, so you know.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Anyone else? Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. I do want to say thank you to the board. And I did send out an email, but I do have to apologize. I saw a number of bounce backs. So it must not have, the government server must not have liked something I did in the email. But again, Zach Irvin, married, live here in Papillion, two kids, K-State, go Wildcats, and Papillion as well. But again, thank you, everyone, for the time.
Thank you.
Well, that's not going to get him any votes.
Should we?
No, I'm just kidding.
I think you have to leave.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Sequestered.
Come back.
You come back when we're done, yeah.
After they go. Jeff Salzberg, come on down.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. Why do you want to be on the NRD board?
Well, I am Jeff Salzberg, gentlemen. And I heard there was an opening for the NRD board in District 10. I'm a lifelong resident here of SRP County. I grew up in Springfield. My wife and I live out in Southwest Gretna. We raised our four kids out there. They all went to Gretna High School. Graduated in Peru. Got my master's degree from Creighton University. I have been a teacher for 40 years. I retired. I was at Millard North for 38 years. I've been an avid hunter, conservationist all my life. This county, the state's given quite a bit to me, and I'd like to give a little back. have a little acreage, like I said, and I in all honesty, I have no experience in water management or flood control. But you don't need a degree in water management to understand that water runs downhill. Mm-hmm. This body, what an educational experience this has been tonight for me. But this body's been a real good steward of the land and the financial basis. I mean, you guys serve, what, 42% of the state here, population-wise? And I'd like to give a little back. And with any luck, first of all, I'd like to see this continue. You guys have done an admirable job over the last two decades. And I'd like to see it continue with or without my participation. But thank you for your time, man.
Thank you. You kind of answered the second question, which is what particular qualifications make you great for this job? But I think you kind of hit every one of those.
None. We have a little flooding on our property. I've got 10 acres. But
is there other questions from directors? Or? Yes.
You said you went to Peru. Did you play football there?
I did. I had a roommate that right across the hall from me that had an annoying cousin.
But
do you know any other educators in Millard, like Kowalski? Or Kowalski?
Yes, I taught, like I said, at Millard North High School for 38 years. I was an assistant wrestling coach for 20 years. I was a head freshman football coach for 22 years and an assistant varsity coach for 10 years.
Thank you.
But the Kowalski name, I'm not sure he's at Millard North, though.
No, he was at
Millard West.
Millard West.
Thompson.
Okay. Yes, sir.
We didn't get a resume, didn't get a summary of your, not your talents you taught.
What'd you teach?
I taught American history and law studies.
Okay. What are the things, if you were to submit a resume, could we discover that would make you better than the other two?
Well, I don't have any answers for you in that regard, other than the fact that, it's important for citizens to get involved in local government. And this has a tremendous impact on the state and the residents in this NRD district.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time,
Jeff.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Walks like a wrestler.
Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you.
We'd kind of start off with why are you interested in being on the Papillion, Missouri River Board?
So I was a firefighter for 17 years in Papillion. I lived there pretty much my whole life. Been on several boards through different unions, different things like that. Just want to give back. I want to continue ensuring that our natural resources are conserved and ensure that we continue to drop the levy going down. When I saw that was exciting to see. Obviously, taxpayers are going to enjoy that benefit. And just to ensure that, the flooding that happens here kind of becomes annoying. I just want to be a part of trying to help be a solution to the problem.
What particular skills or qualifications make you good for this job?
So I've been a negotiator for, it'll be about 8 years now. I understand how to work with people and understand when they're talking to you, how to handle pressure, how to ensure that we follow the, recommended guidelines that the staff can give. I've been through several of these floods. We have property, in different areas that we've seen flooded and had to work with and get silt taken off. And I feel like I've been a big part of the community for many years on all those boards and doing those different things to ensure a better future for our kids and grandkids and that. So,
any other directors have questions?
What other boards did you have?
I was on the, it was a fire board. It was Helmet and Shield Foundation. We basically gave assistance to any firefighter or police in Papillion that would say they got hurt on duty and they weren't getting a paycheck. So we raised funds for those. We did different things like that, ensuring that they would be taken care of and their family wouldn't go without.
They got hurt on duty, though. There's workers' comp, right?
What's that?
I was going to say, if you get hurt on duty, isn't there workers' comp?
Well, this would be off-duty. So if you got hurt, say you were bicycling and you fell off, you broke your ankle or something like that, and they didn't have a light-duty position, it was about $1,000 that we'd give them when I was the vice president of that board. Or if your wife ended up having cancer. It was a way, we always used to do fundraisers. Instead of doing that, we would just do one big fundraiser. We had like the Beer Garden in Papillion and La Vista Days and did things like that within the community. So that's what we did. Yeah, you do have workers' comp if you get hurt on duty. You are correct.
Director Thompson?
A couple of questions. I don't see in your resume any, and maybe it's here, but tell me, any kind of budgeting, professional budgeting issues you've had in your experience. I can understand beer gardens, how many cakes you have. But I mean, as far as any...
So I worked as an IFF representative. I helped Bennington with their first fire contract. We were given the budget from Bennington Suburban Fire District. And working with the chief, he wanted to have about $600,000 left. So I sat down and we figured out ways to ensure he had the money he wanted and ways to increase the pay for the firefighters, including retirement plans, increase in pay. We got a 16% increase in pay for those firefighters over 2 years, and we also got them captains on duty. So we were able to work the money in a way and still make sure there was money left over that the fire chief said he wanted to have set aside.
That was a one-time event.
No, I did that several times on different contracts with the city of Papillion when I was the president of that local. I would get the financials from the city,
right,
and I would ensure that we had those financials to ask for sound. I like to ask for reasonable things. I don't like to ask for over-ask. If there's not money there, that's not good for anybody if the city doesn't stay solvent. So I asked for reasonable amounts of money that they could afford.
My second question is, you've met the other two candidates. You probably read about them. What makes you the best of the three?
Personality skills, and I work really well with the public. I've been doing it for about 2 decades now. I enjoy working with the public. I like to ensure that they have good representation, and I'm extremely hard worker. Once I get my craw into something, I don't really let it go. So,
anything else?
Just Director Bradley. You live in Papillion, Sarpy. How long have you lived there?
I graduated from Papillion La Vista High School in 1999.
Okay.
I lived in La Vista with my parents. 91 on. Now I lived in La Vista for about 6 or 7 years, and then I moved to Papillion in 2013. I built a house over in Terre Highlands.
Okay.
And so I plan on staying there because the mortgage rates are too high. Can't get out of it. It'd go from 3 to 5 or whatever. So I enjoy living there. We have a nice trail there that backs up to the park. So
thank you.
Anything else? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
No, you can remain if you'd like to hear. We'll wait until the others are in, I guess. All right, everybody's back. Discussion amongst the directors, or have a preference?
A question I have is, are we going to be sending all three? Are we going to pick one tonight?
Well, it's up to the sub. You can make a recommendation for one, or you can send two, or It's up to this.
What does the chair feel
the
at this time?
Excuse me?
What does the chair feel at this time?
Well, if someone would make a recommendation or a motion that they would like to advance one or two,
okay,
we'll allow that.
Well, I think we got three really good solid candidates here.
If they want to advance three.
Well, I just want to throw that out and see what our other members.
I know it's, how should I say, it's tough. We got to make this decision now. I wish we had more time to, you know, talk it amongst ourselves and the different candidates, the different qualifications, and they all presented themselves quite well. But I'll throw it out there and make a recommendation, at least for one candidate, and if somebody wants to recommend another one, that's fine, so. So if I got to make the recommendation in a motion.
You'd like to recommend whom?
Anthony Strawn.
Okay.
What's the question?
Is that the second on, or is that?
Well, if you don't get a second, then it dies.
Okay.
I make that as a motion, yeah, for him.
Just like a break, just a normal voting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's. Is there a second? Hearing none, the motion dies, I believe. Is there any other motion?
Another point of information. Not that I'm a member of the committee, I'm not sure if that's the right procedure here, but did you establish your procedure? Are you going to advance one, two, three? What exactly are you trying to do tonight, Mr. Chairman?
Well, we need the approval of the board to advance them.
The executive committee.
Right, the executive committee,
yes. Brent, do you want to clarify?
Yeah, what I think we need to accomplish out of the executive subcommittee is a recommendation to the board.
Yes.
And there's no set protocol in the policy of whether that needs to be one candidate, two candidates, or three candidates. So as long as the exec committee can make a motion that gets the majority of the vote to tonight, that can be recommended to the board. So I think, if I'm not speaking out of turn, that at least the chair is open to potentially having multiple candidates go be recommended to the board on Thursday.
Well, as the chair, I'm absolutely advanced all three candidates for the full board Thursday.
Just for grins, just to see if this works, I mean, I'd like to propose Zach Irvin. And do I have support for that? Move for Zach.
You would like to
move him forward as the one.
Okay.
Is that a motion, Tim?
That's
just
a motion.
Just try the motion, and if that doesn't work, then we send all three. Give everybody.
Okay. A motion, is there a second to that motion?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, don't you already have a motion over here from Director Larry Grant?
There wasn't a second. There wasn't a second. It failed.
So if my motion did not.
I can't.
Now, clarification, if my motion died because there was no second, and then the other director made a motion, I'll second that director's motion.
Okay. So the motion was to advance Zach Irvine, and you seconded that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, didn't I just hear the chairman advance a, was that a motion to move all three? No.
It was just a discussion. I believe you didn't make a motion.
I'm not hearing any votes or.
And this is just a recommendation from the board to vote any way they like come Thursday.
It's just a recommendation.
Okay, so.
Now that we have a motion and a second to advance one candidate, or recommend one candidate.
Okay, my understanding is there was a motion for Mr. Irvin to be the preferred candidate that was seconded
by Larry Bradley.
Director Bradley.
Now it's up for vote.
Yes.
Call for a roll call.
Is that?
No discussion.
That's up to the chair.
Because the way I understand it is, this is a recommendation.
This is a recommendation to the full board.
It's still going to go to the Thursday, and people can vote as such.
The entire board will.
It's just a recommendation.
Right.
From the exec board. So we've done this before, Jim, where we get
the Thursday. The only thing I want to say is, is...
I just wanted to...
Being an appointee back in 97, there were 10 of us that were interviewed, and only one name went forward to the board. It was me. And I got selected by the full board back then, and so it's not unusual to submit one name.
Yeah.
This is simply a recommendation from the executive committee.
To the full board.
Right. Well, at least the motion hasn't passed yet.
No, roll call, please.
Bradley?
Yes.
Felder?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a little complicated thing.